This is Soho Radio.
Hello everyone, what a beautiful day. It's as beautiful as Paul Weller announcing he's playing in Forest. Didn't George Michael get arrested for that, Nick? I'm Bebe Lynch, and you're listening to Bebe Does Soho on your fantastic Soho Radio. I'm all yours for the next 2 hours. Shall we do it? I'm Bebe Lynch, and that was Destiny's Child and Bootalicious. Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
Anything to say about my bottom?
No. Should there be?
What do you think? Well, if you've seen it, well, you know, if I walked in front of you, do you ever think about it?
No. And I've learned over the years it's better to just keep my mouth shut.
Listen to her hold that little no. Hey, how are you? What's been happening? Me? Oh, my God, Nick. Producer Nick. I've entered the world of dogs.
Oh, you should be careful how you phrase that.
Me and my lully neighbour, Ali, and her dog, Ivor, who I'm totally in love with, don't tell Pickle, we go for walks by the beach every morning, and every dog and every dog owner is bonkers.
Yeah.
Bonkers. They're all shagging each other, the dogs.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I saw a dog lick its own willy.
Well, they do that. Well, it's the old joke, isn't it? It's because they can. But it is weird where, you know, because I have a dog and you walk the dog in the park and there's somebody else with a dog on a lead and the two dogs sort of sniff each other in a really sort of intimate way.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet the two humans never really interact or say anything. You might just shrug or sort of nod or pass the time of day, but sometimes people say nothing at all and it's so peculiar.
And there's sex going on in front of you. It's interesting. Well, it's just like life, isn't it? But that's interesting because down in Hove, everyone talks.
Yeah.
Everyone talks.
Yeah, that London did change when I got a dog because people do say good morning and talk to you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, where do you stand? I mean, I saw a willy being licked before breakfast.
Well, that's not unusual.
Let me say about today's show. Our first guest is award-winning and critically acclaimed comedian.
Tom Jones once said.
An actor. Oh, God. Phil Nichol. I can't wait. Phil will be telling us about his latest show, You're Wrong, and all about his Soho. And in the second hour, we'll be joined by my radio heroine, Jo Good. She has a new podcast, Dogs and the City, coming out. Oh, my God, there's a theme to the show.
We should call this show You're Wrong.
And then Queen of Podcasts, Sarah May Tucson, will be here to spread the word of pod. So please join in. Shut up. Tweet us Soho. Tweet at Soho Radio and at BB Lynch. Tweet and say hello or tweet and out the filthy dogs in your life. Not Pickle producing it.
We'll be right back.
This is BB Does Soho on Soho Radio Culture, sohoradiolondon.com, and click on Culture. And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. And that was Forget Me Nots by Patrice Rush. And guess what? Our first guest is here. Welcome to Soho Radio, award-winning and critically acclaimed comedian and actor Phil Nichol.
Oh, goodness, it's me.
Hello, you. Hello. Now, the last time, first time we met, I made you talk about sex stories, and I'm so sorry.
No, you didn't make me. You asked me to.
I did.
Yeah, making me, that would be a different sex story altogether.
Did you feel better after, cleaner?
I actually thought I'd maybe gone too far. And then I spent the whole time worrying that the podcast, people were going, oh, no, who is this? And why did he tell us these things?
No, it was so hilarious. So producer Nick to my left.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, look, he's got his own mic. Who gave him his own mic? When did you get your own mic?
I set the thing up
Oh my God, that's outrageous. Well, the difference, see, producer Nick to my left and producer Sam, who produces Good Sex, Bad Sex, the podcast that Phil was on. Don't get upset. Don't get jealous. Producer Sam never talks. I don't give him the gift of language.
Okay.
And yet, he broke it. He broke the silence by saying, you broke your cock. That's what I'm saying, everyone. But the podcast is available wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, get your podcast. Go and listen to the snapping.
Oh, God. So you've been on tour. We're going to talk all about everything. Everything.
Everything.
You've been on tour with your latest show, You're Wrong. What's touring like? Is it fun or a nightmare?
It's a mixed bag, really. I love touring. It's been my lifestyle. You know, I've been, since I left acting school in 1987, I've been on the road. And in fact, before that, while I was in acting school, I was in part of a contemporary dance theater company. I was a dancer first, believe it or not.
Whoa.
And we did two American tours, ending in the Premier Dance Center in Toronto. So I've kind of been on the road most of my life, but I moved around. Like I moved my first time in my life when I was 6 months old, and then I moved when I was five from Scotland to Canada. Then I moved back when I was 5 years and 10 months back to Scotland. Then I moved back to Canada when I was eight. And then between 8 and 9 and 13, I lived in about 5 different places. Went to 5 different schools, and then I ran away. I lived in one place near a nuclear plant for 4 years, and then I ran away to acting school at 17. And then,
which bit of this is true?
All of this is true.
Oh, okay.
And then within my first summer in acting school, I got a job in a children's theatre company, the Sudbury Theatre Centre, and went on tour there. And then I did 2 years with the American Dance Company. And then I left school and went immediately touring with Corky and the Juice Pigs. So I have basically been on tour my entire life.
Can I ask, don't tell me, if it's too personal, don't tell me, although you have told me quite a lot.
Yeah. Why did you
move back from Scotland and Canada?
That was my father. My dad was a... He's on the run. On the run. He's a builder. He's a working class man. My dad, he's a Scotsman, and he had wanted to move us from Cumbernauld, which is a horrible, horrible place.
Hello to Scotland.
People from Cumbernauld love it, as do I. But my dad moved, trying to make, give us a better life, so he moved us to home of the world's largest nuclear plant in Canada. Which is still better than Cumbernauld. 8 reactors big. No effect on me whatsoever.
Nothing at all. Nothing. Lovely high standing hair.
Nothing I can show you.
As an adult, what's the longest you've ever lived anywhere?
The longest I've lived there is London.
Ah.
I've lived in London for 22 years.
Wow, does it feel like home?
It does, actually. This is the longest I've lived. I mean, even after 10 years, the longest I've lived anywhere. Of course, home is where your heart is. I mean that in both the spiritual sense, but it really is. Your home is where you are.
Can your heart have two places? Because I think my heart's split at the moment.
Why? To where?
London and Hove.
Hove.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
Brighton and Hove. That's London by the sea, isn't it?
It's London by the sea, yeah.
But
I mean, I do like Brighton and Hove, but it's not London.
Oh, that's what I say. London, not Hove. Anyway, Phil.
I go back to Canada now. I go visit. My mother is 90 years of age. My father is 87. They're still together. They've been married 65 years.
What's their secret? Blue tack.
Christianity, yeah. Very similar. It holds things up on the wall. I don't even know what that means. I'm not even sure what that meant.
But someone's offended.
That's exactly.
And I think it's
I'm
me.
Just offend
me.
You by saying you are blue tack.
Do you think of yourself as Canadian, Scottish, or a Londoner?
Well, right now I'm a Londoner, mate. No, I'm all three of those things. But I'm very proud to be a Scotsman.
Yeah.
I'm obviously Canada's a wonderful country, and I'm proud. I'm a proud Canadian. There's so many great things about it.
Yeah. Justin, but, gorgeous.
But London, isn't it? But London, you know, there's no, we're not just because we're on Soho Radio, but London is London, isn't it?
Yeah, don't do that.
London, I mean.
No, you're still
right,
doing
London,
it. You're still doing it, Phil. Phil,
yeah,
you appear to still
I'm
be doing it.
I'm doing it now. All right,
tell
mate.
Me.
No, I want the geezers to listen, mate. I want the geezers.
My demographic is geezers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm a GI.
You are, because you've got that voice that geezers in the car right now.
Yeah. GI.
I'm a GI. What's gay that? Icon.
Are you?
Yeah. What do you mean, aren't I?
Aren't
am I? What?
Okay.
Are you?
Of course I am.
I was never aware of that.
No.
Phil Nicol.
Yes.
Got a middle name.
Phil.
Phil Nicol.
No, my name is John Philip Nicol.
Phil Nicol.
That's quite good, actually. I'll change my last name to Phillips. Phil Phillips.
Why don't you?
Phil.
You can have that for
triple
free.
Phil.
Oh, he's the triple threat. Triple
yeah,
Phil.
Phil.
Tell me about you're wrong. Who's wrong?
Who's wrong? Well, we're all wrong. Human condition, really. Make mistakes. The show You're Wrong, spelt Y-O-U-R, on at the Soho Theatre, November 27th.
Beautifully done.
Yeah,
he's good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Plugging it.
Tickets still available.
Tickets still available. Not many, though.
Not many.
Going fast, you should have said.
Not
thank
many.
You,
Phil's storming it.
You're Wrong is a discussion, really. I don't really... It's about, you know, different times I've been wrong in my life. It's a comedy show, so I've done some very similar... done some very silly things, but it's about my parents. I was born into this devout born again Christian church in the Brethren Assembly. And my wee Scottish mum used to go, "Everything happens for a reason, son. Everything happens for a reason. It's God's plan, son."
Is it just me, or is that arousing?
Yeah, yeah. Oh my! I'll put the wig
sorry,
on.
Sorry.
Wait till I put the wig on. I look just like her. and she bakes for you afterwards.
Oh, it's the trick.
It's going well.
It's going very well.
Well, sorry, Nick, is there something? You guys are asking. I'm just answering the questions. I'm just answering the questions, you guys.
I'm so still thinking about Bibi being a gay icon. Right? You're not a gay icon unless drag queens dress up as you.
Well, I might do that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
For Halloween next year.
Hello. You bitch.
Da, 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 da,
wow. That's sorry, so baby. Phil.
Beep, 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 beep. That would be your name.
Yes.
So, yes. So to finish answering your question, yeah. The show is about my struggle as I moved away, as I ran away from home. And dealing with becoming irrationalist and becoming dealing with realizing that my parents' beliefs and beliefs in general tend to be full of dogma and people hang on to them and create these beliefs and then don't ever question them and never actually allow themselves to be open to questions. And this show is to trying to open, in a comedic way, open your mind up to questioning your own beliefs.
Did you run away from home because of the strong religious beliefs at
home? But partly. I when I was 14, I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music or watch TV or films like normal kids. I'd listen to Christian rock music, which is like normal rock music with the word Jesus thrown in everything. Don't get on Jesus. I won't get fooled again. Jesus, you know.
With Bon Jovi,
my daddy
living
was
on a prayer,
a bank robber, Jesus.
Yeah, living on a prayer counts.
Living
oh,
on a prayer.
Oh, very good. Well done, producer
exactly.
Nick.
Yeah, Stairway
clip
to Heaven.
Clip that.
Yeah.
That'd be the only quote in the whole show,
there.
Just
okay.
Nick's. So you did run home because you didn't
run for me today.
Yeah, I know I haven't. You're annoying me. just annoying me. So it's all about how we won't say we're wrong, but also especially now, social media won't allow us to be wrong.
Well, this is it. We're being watched, I think, is the key to the little blurb I wrote. We're being watched. Whether it's you think you're being watched on the internet, people, I've got friends of mine that put like a sticker across the camera on their, which makes me think, what are you worried about them watching you watch like dog videos? I mean,
yeah,
but other people believe we're being watched from the rings of Saturn. There's people that believe in the Saturn moon matrix, that there are aliens in the rings of Saturn beaming a beam off the curvature of the moon directed at mankind. We're being watched in CCTV camera, one of the most this country particularly. But I kind of draw the illusion that you've got a CCTV camera in your head watching everything you do, and we've turned, that's in order to describe that or just explain that to young children or to the ancients, they called it God. Oof. Or Santa.
or Santa.
You know what I mean?
I do believe Phil has just explained the meaning of life.
Well done. Yeah. Clip that.
Well,
that's
there
what
you
go. Need
to thank
clip.
You very much.
Well done,
click
Phil,
it.
Phil, Phil.
Clip that.
Clip that.
The meaning of life.
There's a personal story within it all as well.
There is. They're all personal stories, because I would not want to ever think I'm in a position to tell people what to think, ever. Comedian's not a comedian's job. A comedian's job is to make you laugh. So the stories are all about all the daft things I've done, stupid things I've said to people, times when I've been very wrong or said the wrong thing. I then express those stories, you know, to make you laugh. But the main one revolves around my big brother Andrew, having a severe car accident when I was about 19 or after I'd left home. And it's about how my parents' beliefs and my beliefs came at loggerheads. And so it's got a bit of a heart to it. It's got the story itself. And it's not, this has happened 30 years ago. So I don't feel like I'm exploiting the episode for the benefit of my show or my career. It's actually something that is very much on target and on point for this particular topic. In fact, as I've written the topic, I've actually discovered there's more and more and more to it, because being wrong is a very rich theme for comedy and for life. It really compels people to watch it. And the number of things that people have told me, and the silly stories and sad stories that people have told me, and things that people have admitted to me after the show is pretty incredible.
Are you good at saying sorry? Are you a natural sorrier?
Yeah. I'm Canadian. Canadians say that. Sorry, did I...
Breathe.
Sorry, Canada. I don't know. I think, but if it's heartfelt, then it's great. I just find that it's a knee jerk to go, sorry, out of the, you know, you walk beside someone in England, they go, sorry, mate. You're like, I'm just walking beside
you. Yeah, you walk into somebody, yeah. Or somebody walks into you, and you say sorry.
Yeah, you say sorry. But Canadians, I think Canadians get that from the British anyway, but. Yeah.
We're givers. What can we say? Sorry.
Yeah,
One of your many brilliant reviews says this is your confessional. Do you see comedy like that? Do you see it as a way of saying your stuff?
Not particularly. I don't think there's some discussion about it being being a way of confessing, I guess, or a way of therapy, on stage therapy. I know, like, the last greatest show of in the last, you know, 5-10 years was Nanette, the Hannah Gadsby show, which actually pulls the rug out and doesn't allow you to laugh at the end, which is a brave move on behalf of a comedian. I think in the show she talks about how comedy doesn't always deal with things very well. I don't necessarily know if I agree with her completely, because my show is about how laughter is very much a healing. Laughing and crying are actually really close, and they're when you suffer head trauma, there's two ways your body reacts to it, and one is to laugh hysterically when you come out of a coma. Your body goes into this weird convulsion.
Seriously?
And also the opposite happens, where you cry, and those two reactions physically stimulate the body in a very similar way. It releases endorphins, and so laughing and crying are very similar. But I don't want this show for me, it really is just a comedy show. I know it doesn't sound hilarious now, but I don't want to do the show for you. But the show allows you to think a little bit, and I think the most moving dramas have the greatest comedy in them, and the greatest comedies have the most moving drama in
it. It's interesting you're saying that. It was a long time ago, so you don't feel like you're exploiting it. Is that line? I write a lot. I mean, I know this hour's about you, Phil Nichol, but you know.
Yeah, sure.
I am here.
Yeah. Let's talk about Bibi.
Could we?
Yeah.
Again.
No, you know my back. I was talking to Joe Good, who's on the show later, about where your kind of line is when you talk about stuff, because you can't see everything as material, except a lot of stuff is material.
Yeah, well, almost everything becomes material. In fact, it's one of the problems you have as a comedian, is I think that's why we're all so twisted, is that, you know, you'll see something happen and you'll think, oh, that's going to be funny. You know, your girlfriend's screaming at you, think, this is hilarious. This is fantastic. She does not realize how funny this is. This is going to be great
this
when I tell it later. Yeah, exactly. But it does lead to having problems. I don't know if we're completely capable of dealing emotionally with stuff, but that's how we deal with things emotionally. I really don't know. Alfie Brown, who's Jan Raven's son, is a fantastic comedian in his own right. Young man who also is playing at the Soho Theatre. I highly recommend going to see his show. I loved about it is he's talking about seeing an accident at a bus stop and how disconnected he was from it. And being honest and enforcing you as an audience to go, you you would be doing the same thing. You'd actually be more likely to be me than the butcher who came running out and called the ambulance. You'd more likely be me thinking, I'm late.
Yeah.
I've got to be somewhere.
Yeah,
this guy's going to be fine or not. It's nothing I can do about it. And I'm going to move on. And I think that kind of approach is something that I've been doing for quite a few years, from like 10 years ago. That's the storytelling is just admitting that sometimes you very much make the wrong choice.
Talking about the let's go to the other end of the evolutionary scale. Those pricks that did the Grenfell Tower effigy yesterday,
right?
Who they I've have never arrested.
Seen, yeah. Thank God, I've never seen anything like
it. I haven't seen it. Okay, so I don't know. I think it's horrifying to think that would be in any way amusing. But I haven't seen it, so I can't really comment on it. But so from an outside perspective, I would say there was something that someone did in their backyard to amuse themselves, and not something that they ever expected to get that kind of coverage, because of the way the modern world works, they are not going to be held accountable for having. But none of the people that are actually involved in Grenfell have been charged or arrested, and that is the sin. The people that are responsible for the event in the first place are the people we should be arresting, not the guys making fun of it. And I think it's
can't we arrest them all?
Well, I think you've got to allow some room for comedy to deal, or for them to find that funny. I haven't seen it, so I can't comment.
It's pretty shocking.
I cannot comment on that bit of it, so I can't say whether it's they enjoyed it because they were being cruel or racist.
Yeah.
But more importantly, the people that should be held accountable. Yeah. Have not been. So this will be a distraction from it.
And
that, let's not ever lose sight of that.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you, and you're good to make
So if anything, in a weird satirical sort of way, those guys have drawn attention to it again, and hopefully I'm able to say what I'm saying to
but
you.
But can
now.
I say something? That was never their intention.
Well,
they cut out brown bits of paper to have brown faces at the window, and they were shouting out, save me, save me, or no, stay in your flat. I mean, it honestly is the most shocking thing I've ever seen.
Right,
but I love your point, because you're right.
Yeah.
Everyone involved in this disgusting thing should be.
On a different note, just on a more general level, I think people need to realise that if you are posting something online, it is then in the public domain.
Well, that's where
you can say yes, it's a joke privately in our backyard, but if you're putting it online, then you're making
it. You are right, and we are moving into this, but falls into a big heavier conversation with me as a comedian about how I would not want to be censored for some of my ideas, and some of my ideas Jerry Sadovich will never perform again, and I think that would be sad, because he's ridiculously funny, and the points he's making can be misconstrued, and comedy, it lives in a world of confusion, and ideas do come out of delirium, and we're going to go through and say, well, we can't read Romeo and Juliet because they're underage teenagers in it, then you're falling into a really strange place. I haven't seen this particular clip, so I can't comment it, other than I will defend people's right to say and do what they want if they haven't actually perpetrated the crime.
And also,
I haven't seen it though.
No.
And I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
It will change you when you see it.
And I'm sure it will make me. No. But I'm sure it will make me ill. There's been lots of things like that and that come out, and I stand very firmly on the side of.
Non-censorship. The side you're on, though, also is that the product, whatever they come up with, is interesting, intelligent, and funny. There's a point for kind of going that route.
Sure.
Well, there's nothing funny what they did.
Well, sure. Well, like, I guess this. I guess that's. I don't really get. It's my show's not that politically. My show's light. Lighter than that. So it's not, I don't get into these political ideals, but I as a comedian, I'm watching, I just think it's the tip of an iceberg where you start slipping away not in defense of myself, because that's what the point of Nanette was, is I can't defend it by saying it's just a joke, mate.
Yeah.
But we do have to be very careful not to put not to allow the more fascist thinkers to put a broad stroke across it, because then this show would stop.
Yeah,
they'll come for this next.
No,
Be adult about it, but and have to be responsible about it. But I think we have to be very careful about what we, because that those guys made that's then shown on television. But the people that run those television stations aren't responsible for showing it. Why not?
Most of them haven't shown it. Most of them are just shown it still because they won't show it.
Well, they can't. I don't think they should show it.
Yeah.
And it's like saying, well, look what this person did. Well, you're making it worse if you.
Well, that's like with libel. So if you can't.
Well, this is it. So if you're going to retweet something because you think it's horrific. then you're responsible. I had an argument online with someone who was showing live dogs being tortured and burned for a dog festival in Korea. And I was outraged. My friend is a anti-vivisectionist vegan. And I was like, it's disgusting. And I don't want to see that on my timeline. So I either two choices. I can either block you so I don't see anything like that again, which I don't want to do because I agree with what you say and I agree with the point of it. I just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I know I don't have to see it to know that it happens. We know there are people being beheaded. We don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I don't need to know.
But I'm thinking, because I RT'd this video last night and I'm thinking, okay, why did I RT it? And what was going through my head was I just wanted these people to be identified.
But it's what you're. It's that horrific. They're going to be identified. Someone else. Then why didn't you call the police? Why did you retweet it?
Because
you should have called the police.
Why?
You should have called the police. And
what
said,
would I say? I've seen a video and I don't know who the people are.
Yeah, no, it's hate crime.
That's what they've been got for.
Well, you didn't need to retweet it.
I think, because enough people retweeted, because that's how it made the media. Well, no, that's how it made the media. Because enough people got upset about it.
It probably was because at some point someone called the police. It wasn't just the police. Don't just sit on Twitter and go, "Oh,
they take
500 retweets. We better call."
They take
in.
A lot from Twitter. But media companies would have seen the tweets, and that was a sunnier story. And then that's what they covered.
The media company would have had to call the police.
Someone called the police, Phil, and I wish it was you.
Baby.
But
I'm just saying,
Do your Cockney accent again? Come on, let's lift it. Do your Cockney accent.
Because there's also like, all right, mate, leave it out, mate.
There you go.
We've all had a drink.
Oh my God, Phil Nickel.
So that's getting too heavy. This is supposed to be a comedy thing.
But my point is, I'm right.
You brought it up.
I'm right. My point is, I'm
right. No, you brought it up. We're talking about it.
No, we are talking about it. You look like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He looks like me.
He looks like you. He's so lucky.
I'm actually a month older than him, so I was first.
You are not.
I don't know.
He's called Robert.
I made
you know that.
Bobby.
Can I say something about you?
You could be Bibby Bobby Jr. Bibby Bobby Robbie Downey Jr.
That's just ridiculous. I've been
recognized as Robert Downey Jr. quite a fair bit.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's your shoulder, okay?
What's wrong with
your shoulder?
I've been training.
Oh, yeah.
And
Is it your right arm?
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Exactly. Oh, my mind out of the gutter, mate. I was on a beach in Thailand, speaking of.
Oh, yeah, my mind's in gutter.
No,
Neck.
How dare you? I got followed along the beach in Thailand because I'm
still not getting any.
By this really cute little. No, she was a delight. Spent the whole weekend together. No, that's not true. If you're listening, my girlfriend, this group. No, I didn't want to say it because I don't want other people to go ooh and then write it looking up Phil Nickel's girlfriend and then send her hate mail.
Where's this? I looked down to see if my tea bag was still in
because,
my tea.
Because the way the modern world is, someone will listen to this interview and go, well, Phil Nickel supports the guys that made that video of a thing.
Yeah. No one will think
not,
that.
Which is not the case.
No one will think
not
that.
Not the case.
Not on my watch.
Not the case.
No one will think
can,
that.
I can say as a comedian, there's been many times we have done things where I've said and done things that have gone way too far. That also with the shifting sands of time changing, even like I have a comedy album called Late Night Electric Watermelon, which you can only get on Bandcamp. I've not made a big deal out of it. It's like 22 tracks of music. On a couple of the tracks, I use the word midget, and because the songs were written like 10 years ago, and 10 years ago I didn't realize that the word midget was actually an issue with little people. And I have friends who are little people, and they've gone, oh, don't worry about it. It's not that big a deal. And my friend Tanya Lee Davis calls herself a little person, or calls herself a midget on stage, and but at the same time, it's I can't play those songs anymore.
Because it
doesn't hold up in time.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I was on this beach in Thailand.
Let me get back to us. I have questions here.
Is there any music on this program?
Yes, in a minute.
Coming to that.
You're going to sing every song.
Nick.
So Phil Nickel, please be calm because
I'm poised, ready to play
songs. I'm not ready yet. I've got a few questions. No one's going to think that you're brilliant. I'm brilliant. I've got great hair.
Nick can't even look at me anymore.
He does. No, he adores you. Phil Nickel. So Phil Nickel, producer Nick, I'll tell you this, although you know it. Phil's a brilliant actor too. Mm. His CV includes Catastrophe, Uncle on TV, and Taboo. Everybody's talking about Jamie. Apparently that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really
You were amazing. It's really good. Oh, and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yes, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's with Christian Slater.
How's Christian Slater?
Yeah, he's good. We used to hang out. I pretend I was Robert Downey Jr.
I was going to say, you probably thought you were Robert.
And he was Jack.
That's why he agreed to do it.
Yeah, it's one of the best nights of my life I ever had. It was in Century Club, and we were with Cindy Crawford. And Dave Johns, who was in the show, Daniel Blake, he was in the show. Stephen Kay, myself. And you're not allowed to use a camera because it's a members only club.
Yeah.
I'm sitting with Cindy Crawford. I'm watching Cindy Crawford feed Dave Johns chips, and my phone rang. It was like all on silent. I went, oh, it's my brother Andrew, who's got four daughters and like 10 grandchildren. Which I wind him up about all the time. So I've got to answer. So I went to the little bar by the toilet and said, hi. He went, what are you up to? I said, well, I'm watching Cindy Crawford feed my friend Dave chips. And he was like, oh, shut up. You're not. So I'm just getting a picture. I'm like, I can't. You're not taking photos. Just believe me, it's true. Reaching these goals that you have.
That is so funny.
Man.
Is she awful in real life? Awful looking? Awful ugly woman?
No.
Okay.
She's absolutely adorable. She's a bit like you, baby.
Oh, thanks,
did she think
mate.
You were Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Cindy and I are on this beach in Thailand. It's true.
So this is so amazing. And also,
or someone that looks like Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, yeah.
I once met a girl. I've got so many Robert Downey Jr. stories.
Derek
Crawford.
Show about
it. No, I was in a member. Bobby Crawfish. Anyway, so I was in a members bar. I'm not only doing members bar. It's just, but I was in Sydney and I was sitting. And this girl came up. She looked like Elle Macpherson. She really did. She was just stunning. This is many years ago. I was a younger man. And I was quite drunk in this thing. And she sat down and just went, are you, oh, sorry. And I was like, what? And she went, oh, no, I'm embarrassed now because I thought you may happen to have been Robert Downey Jr. And I was like, I laughed and went, well, that's funny because I was looking at you thinking Elle Macpherson is here. And so.
Oh,
she,
you're good.
I know.
You're
good, right? So yeah. Then we
she
sat.
Said, oh, you,
yeah. Yeah, we, she said, she just leaned in and started kissing me.
No,
I'm just making that up. Oh. And then she broke my.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, no, I was going to kiss you, but I saw you were with a young Thai boy. So
when you come on, right, I'm not letting you finish that story. When you come on next,
there's
time,
a good that story. It's a good story. I'll tell you later.
Okay, tell me later.
Oh, you're on your next podcast.
Yeah. When you come back, this is amazing. Phil's played Terry Gilliam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
That's incredible. Were you a fan of his?
Oh, huge fan. I'm a huge fan of the Monty Pythons. But, of course, as I said, the way I was raised in this devout brethren assembly, we weren't really allowed to listen to anything like that. But my brother Andrew, who's like 6 years old than me, used to drive around in this V6 Capri because we were allowed to, he was allowed to have that. But in the car, we were able to listen to like, secular music. So we listened to Monty Python. Sit on my face. I don't know what we can talk about here on Soho Radio.
Fine. That's
a tell me that you love me.
And that
I love you too.
I love to oralize when my head's between your thighs. Sit on my face and tell me that I love you.
Yeah, that's it. You know it.
Yeah.
So we.
It was our wedding song. That was our first dance.
Your first dance.
Still perpetuating this.
Yes, exactly.
That we're in somehow romantically.
I'm listening to Phil Nichol.
You guys, you'll be really great as your first dance.
No, we're together.
I'd like to see
we love each other very much.
A bit of jive. So we used to listen to. Well, yeah. So from that stage on, it was even naughtier. I think this is the thing about that. It was even naughtier. So when I had a chance to play Terry Gilliam, I was actually filming or taping a voiceover in the studios that he owns in Soho, just below.
Amazing.
Just below when it happened. So, but I never got. He was too busy. I never got a chance to meet him.
Oh,
he wrote me I think most of the guys met their Python. Terry Gilliam, of course, probably is up to his eyeballs in work. So,
yeah.
But he wrote me a thing saying, "Look, there's stuff online, and here's some clips of me and some rare stuff."
That's so cute.
Yeah,
he likes his big fan.
I think it did all right. I was a bit chubby for her. He's not a chubby guy, I don't think. He's quite a big guy.
Not a chubby boy. Producer Nick's pointing at me.
Yeah, well, we're not going to have time for the records unless you go.
Yeah, let's put the records on.
No, let me ask one more question, then I'm going to and then I'm going to give out some details.
Uh-huh.
Let me quickly ask this, though, because I do think it's a good question. Does your acting... two-word answer. Does your acting feed your comedy?
Yes.
Thank you. So you're wrong... You're wrong. Is it Soho Theatre?
Yes, it is.
Thank you so much.
It is at the Soho Theatre.
From November 27th to December 1st.
I'm going to
punch his beautiful face. For tickets, go to sohotheatre.com.
This is my actual speaking voice.
And for updates on all Phil's brilliant
this
projects,
this is how I sound normally.
I only do
visit
PhilNichol.com
and follow Phil on Twitter. Someone
you
hold
do look
me
like Elle McPherson.
At PhilNichol.
BB does Soho. Lucky Soho.
I'm BB Lynch and you're listening to Soho Radio Culture. SohoRadioLondon.com and click on Culture. And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from our beautifully busy, what does that mean? Pop up and studio on Great Windmill Street.
Really,
I'm joined in the studio by the wonderful Phil, and it's time for my
Phil
Soho.
It's Phil Nichol.
Soho Radio. My Soho with BB Lynch.
So I really got down on your case for not calling the cops. Oh, but I'm right.
It's okay. Before you ever... Hello, right. Officer. Before you ever came here, what did the name Soho mean to you? What did it evoke in you?
No, it's Soho. There's one in New York as well, isn't there? So I've been to both. This is the better one. In fact, I've got friends that live there. It's being gentrified in the one in America's being taken apart. But
this is close.
Well, I hope this. I hope it doesn't happen here. You know, if I was the mayor of Soho,
let's see.
I wouldn't change it. I don't think you know. It's such a heart and soul of the city. Not a lot of major cities, big cities, don't have that one catchment area. I mean, you've been to other places.
So weird, isn't it?
But this is one place you can go with this complete where you feel relatively safe and comfortable. And I think part of it has to do with the old Compton Street and the gay district, and part of it has to do with the theater, the number of people and tourists are coming from all over the place. I mean, there's nothing quite like it that I know of. And I'm not just saying it because I'm kissing Soho butt here. But
I think you're right, and that's why we're all going to club together and get me a flat here. So when we have guests on the show producing it, oh my God, you're eating a pen like a lunatic.
I had a friend. I've
got a pen in my mouth.
To stop him from talking.
Well, thank God.
I had a friend who had a flat here in Soho, though.
Are they single?
It was fantastic. He was. And he is again. So
great news.
Yeah, he's used goods. You'd
fabulous
love him. He's perfect for you.
Thank you so much. I love
and,
it.
And yeah, he knows what he's doing. So
I don't think a guest has ever got the measure of this show quite so quickly.
So what? Could have just called Set Up BB. This is the set.
I'm an orphan. Show some respect.
You're listening to the Set Up BB here on Soho Radio.
Listen, we're going to play.
Just call in.
And then what?
No, I'm just. There's anyone listening today that's single and wants to date, likes BB's voice.
Are
call
you
her.
Pimping me out.
No, she looks like Elle McPhee. No, I look like
Nanny McPhee. So listen,
Nana Muscuri.
I look like. Hang on, yeah, I'll put my glasses on in a minute.
You do look a bit like. If you're a Nana Muscuri fan and you're under 50, which is unreal, unlikely. I mean, then give us. Just call in. BB's looking for.
Oh my
day.
God. Okay, we'll play a bloody song. Sorry, yeah. I'm swearing. Yeah. We ask our guests to think of three songs that for whatever reason remind them of Soho. Which was your first song? Why?
Well, it was Going Underground by The Jam. And the reason for that is because when I first moved over to Britain, I'd already been coming to the Edinburgh Festival.
Are you legal here?
Yes, I was born in Cumbernauld. Yeah. I've got a passport, all right. Screw you, Brexit. You're not getting rid of me. And once Brexit goes through, I'm going to just start speaking in a French accent.
Oh my! Stop doing the accents.
What are you doing? I'm trying to
stop doing the accents. I'm trying to help you.
No.
Tell us why you chose the Jam.
These are good accents. I don't know why you're talking about that.
Tell us why you chose the Jam.
Oh, Bibi, you're good. Actually, that's a good name for a French guy, Bibi. Bibi, if you are a French and listening to the show today and you like Nana Muscuri, call in and Bibi will have you on. When I say shall have you on, I mean she'll bring you on the show. She won't. She
hang
won't.
On, that got that got worse.
That got worse. Yeah.
Why did you choose this song? Why did you choose this song?
It's because I was a huge fan of the Jam, and I was an alternative dude living in the suburbs, the outskirts of Toronto, looking at a nuclear plant. And there's only like three of us at the school who like British music, and I love Paul
who
Weller.
Had two helms.
So
two
when
legs,
I got
so
and I love reason, I love Going Underground. It's such a vivid song that you don't even have to. But when I first got my first trip to London on the Underground, I came out at Leicester Square, and this song sums up the 80s experience.
Some people might say my life is in a rut. I'm quite happy with what I've got.
people might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can see the same things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys' brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, than the mine. My nuclear attacks was for atomic crimes, and the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing, society got some going on in the ground. Some pleasure out to hate me. I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between the facts. You see, here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leaders and place your trust. As their lies wash you down and their promises rust. You see, killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give what the society wants. I'm going underground.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That'll be the end of the record.
Anyway, yeah, well, that's when people had shorter attention spans.
So you're on a beach, Thailand.
I'm in Thailand, yeah, with Nana Muscuri.
Coconut.
And Coconut Joe.
I went to...
I love Coconut Joe.
I know,
yeah.
Ian.
Oh, it always sounds like he's on a horse all the time.
I'm not even... Honestly, I don't know what you're talking about. I understand one word in five that he says.
Yeah.
One word in four.
That's why you need a French man in your life.
Really? Stop yeah. it?
When I said Nana Muscuri, I was more like Nan. You're Nan Muscuri.
So when I'm going to punch your face.
I was saving it for that.
Yeah, yeah.
I should have said
Do you regret it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I... So I've been to one fancy dress party.
Theatre on the phone. They want to cancel the show.
So I've been to one fancy dress party in my life, and I was about 14, and I wore a black wig, black glasses, a kind of quite elaborate dress, and a string of bananas around my neck, and I went, it's Banana Muscuri. Brilliant.
Hey, hello.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And the next morning, banana Genius. Skins were found by radiators. I don't want to talk about it.
I was once not let into a fancy dress party because I didn't come dressed as anything. So I went to the shop, bought a bag of carrots and said I was Bugs Bunny. They let me in.
I know somebody that went to a fancy dress party wearing a pair of underpants, and apparently he went as a premature ejaculation.
Oh, well, that's... Oh, my God, Nick, why did you do that?
No, not me.
Yeah, Nick, why would you do that?
Why did you say it? Hey, Phil Nichol.
Yeah.
What's your favourite Soho bar, restaurant, or venue?
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I the place I go the most, actually, if I'm being honest, is Maison Berthault.
Oh, delicious.
I discovered it through Noel Fielding.
Clang.
Is that a clang? No, why?
What? Cindy Crawford didn't get a clang.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole building
well,
does.
Well, old Cinders and I, we go to Maison Berthault, you'll see.
Because she's really unattractive?
Yeah, no, she's really.
Oh, she's
she
okay.
still looks
she's
she
okay.
looked better.
Does she?
Yeah. She really.
Is she stupid?
Yeah, really.
Oh, thank God.
She feeds other people her chips.
The idiot.
Yeah.
What an idiot. Anyway. Maison Berthault.
Maison Berthault. Actually, the venue that would be Soho Theatre, where I'm playing November 27th to December 1st.
What? You've got a show?
My show?
What's it about?
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
You're wrong. We've discussed it. It's about being on a beach in Thailand. And, So yeah, so that, but I think Maison Barteau, and then I mean, there's the Phoenix, the artist bar, and the Phoenix artist bar. Oh,
Friendo shows, I love that place.
It's amazing, right?
Oh my god,
I do miss the sausagerium.
Yeah, they used to serve a sausage on a plate with just on a stick.
Yes, just a sausage. That's it.
In the corner, it was had like said the sausagerium.
Lovely.
Oh, I love the Phoenix.
But they're doing a lot more shows back. Yeah, in the backstand. Yeah. So I've seen a few things. Yeah. I saw a wonderful young comedian called Ed Hedges do. He did a show about being stuck in his house, being trapped in his house when someone had been murdered next door. Comedy show.
Wow.
And I saw him do a preview of that. So it's one of the best things I've seen.
That sounds.
It was amazing. It was me and I believe then the director John Gordillo. There's about four of us there, and that was at the Phoenix Theatre Bar. But I do go there a lot, and I do. But I also, you know, I'm members of things like the Groucho.
I don't go there.
Well, that's where I'm waiting for Cindy Crawford to come.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Cindy. Can you imagine being that ugly? Oh, so what's your who's your favourite Soho character?
Cindy Crawford. You are.
Thanks, mate.
You are, mate. Yes, that's the only reason I'm on the show.
Thanks,
so I can
mate.
Meet you. I'm not even a comedian. My name's not even Phil. It's Bobby. It's me. It's me, BB. Come on, radio. Hello. It's me, finally. Will you marry me, baby? Are we going to be baby and Bobby?
Are you sure living next to a nuclear power plant didn't have some effect?
Please marry me, baby. Look, I'll take the Phil Nickel mask off now. There we go. It's me. I've got a moustache. My name is Bobby, and you'll be my baby. Well, you can be BB Bobby Baby. Hi. So, you shouldn't get stalkers on your show.
Oh my god,
you're my favorite.
Seriously, put a song on. I can't do it.
Well, we got 9 more minutes.
Who's your favorite? All right, what's your second choice of song?
I was in Taboo with Every Day for 6 months with Boy George. One of my favorite human beings in the world.
Is he lovely?
Yeah, he's lovely. He's really clever.
He's so beautiful.
He's very clever. I followed Paul Baker. Oh, okay.
So we've had Paul on the show.
I love Paul. Yeah, so Paul won the Olivier Award for that, and I followed him into the. I was better.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Paul. I'm only joking. He'll hate me for that, even though he knows I'm kidding. He's phenomenal. But I've got to perform with Boy George every day, and he's a lovely, lovely, lovely man. So this is Karma Chameleon. Oh.
Oh, poor George.
It's one of my favourite songs, that one.
You're You're my lover, not my rival.
Is that the...
I shake my van, I listen to it.
Is that the song you make sweet love to?
Yes, I will, baby.
So you've got a really... there's lovely tweets coming from you. This is from lovely Paul Perkins. Hi, Paul. BB, whilst Phil is in the studio, please tell him I've been watching musical theatre since seeing Billy in 1974, and his performance in Everybody's Talking About Jamie is right up there with Michael Crawford, Nathan Lane, and my all-time favourite ever performances.
What? Shush. That's not true.
That's so true.
Oh, thank you, Paul Perkins.
Isn't that amazing?
That's really nice. Thank you very much.
Oh, I really wish I'd seen you in
that. It was a huge stretch for me. I was really chuffed that I got the part. Written by Dan Gillespie-Sells and Tom McRae. Dan Gillespie-Sells, you know, from The Feeling, and directed by wonderful Jonathan Buttrell. It was one of the highlights of my career so far. And it's just as you start to get old and feel old, and that happens sometimes.
Look at me.
No, you're talking, it's an interview with you.
Okay, sorry. I'm so sorry.
Is that what it is?
Finally.
It's what it's supposed to be. So, is that what it is? Says the producer.
I know.
It's supposed to be.
I actually saw you in it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And it doesn't live up to that critique.
No, I agree. It was
phenomenal. That's amazing.
I've been telling everyone to see that show. One of the best things that's been on TV.
It's a really good piece, and you should go and see it. It's still on.
And it's about Jamie Oliver.
The drag queens that are James Gillen, Daniel Jacob, and Alex Hansley, who are the three drag queens, that, along with my character Loco Chanel. Those three actors are out gems, and they made it worth going into work every day. And
I love that you do both, and it will feed everything you do, won't it? It's exciting.
I don't know. Yeah,
I've
had a good couple of years. I think.
Yeah,
I've had a few bad years and a few good years.
You're going to get more good years, mainly because I'm on your side now.
Yeah, I'm off to LA on Monday.
Are you? What time are we going?
What time are we? We're heading. No, but I'll tell you to LA.
Oh my
baby.
God! Don't ever do that.
Baby.
Seriously, that's going to be in my head for the rest of my life.
Like, yeah, exactly. Will you marry me?
What are you doing? What are you doing in LA?
What would you say? Will you marry me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
What are you doing in LA?
I'm just going for some casting meetings. I'm doing three. I'm performing You're Wrong there as a charity event for a show at the Lyric Hyperion, which was run by Phil Burgers, Dr. Brown.
You are so talented.
And then coming back to the Soho Theatre November 27th December.
Oh my God, is that happening? I'm just going to cough. Can people say something? Just distract.
Yes, okay.
I love you.
Okay, sum up Soho in three words. In three words, please, Phil Nichol.
Did you edit that?
Yeah.
Can you?
Soho, three words.
Do you dump stuff?
Oi!
Three words. While I was growing up, because I went to this Brethren Christian camp, summer camp in Canada, and it was called Minioe. And we used to go to Camp Minioe, and it was like a big part of my life. No matter where we were living, I'd go there and spend the summers there, and I ended up being getting older there. And it's a Dakota Sioux native word, or three words, Minioe, and it means fountain of life. And I just thought... I don't know why it came to me, but I've been thinking about how to promote my new show, You're Wrong, which is about growing up in the Brethren Church. And to sum up so in three words, I say Minioe. Minioe.
Absolutely. That was worth going through that hour for.
Yeah.
Fountain.
Yeah, I think so.
Fountain.
It was worth going through that abuse for. You're Wrong is at Soho Theatre from November 27th to December 1st. For tickets, go to sohotheatre.com. And for updates on all Phil's brilliant projects, visit philnichol.com and follow Phil on Twitter at philnichol. Thank you so much,
great.
Phil.
Can I dedicate this song to the everybody's talking about Jamie, the
of
whole cast and the queens?
Of course you can. Of course you can. Which song is it?
It's Diana Ross.
And?
Yeah?
And?
And?
The song.
Oh, the song is... coming out.
Royal Soho. On Soho Radio.
Oh, hi, Nick. That was Back to Life, Soul to Soul.
London, 2018.
Really? Hey, welcome to the second hour of BB Does Soho. I'm BB Lynch and you're listening to Soho Radio Culture, sohoradiolondon.com and click on Culture. And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from our beautifully bijou pop-up and studio on Great Windmill Street. Come down and say hello. Or if you're too shy to say hi, tweet us at Soho Radio or at BB Lynch. We would love to hear from you. So the brilliant filming... God, he made me sweat.
I know. Apologies for the sound quality during the first half, but Phil was grabbing the microphone and screeching down it. I don't know where those voices came from.
Oh, Bobby. So Phil entertained us with tales of his Soho, and in a few minutes, broadcasting legend Joe Good will be here. Well, not here, but, you know, on air. But first, ladies and gents, it's only Donny Osmond and Puppy Love.
Really?
Love. Oh, I guess they'll never
Osmond and Puppy Love. Oh my God, Producer Nick, I loved Donny Osmond so much. I used to wear purple just because it was his favourite colour.
Yeah, because all the Osmonds were colour coded, weren't they?
Yeah, and he was purple. Do you think he wore purple because he liked Prince?
I don't even guess.
So that
was 1972.
What? Yeah. Well, then how do I know it? So we have a treat for you now, everyone. Oh my God, this is so funny. So last week we did a little pre-record with my radio heroine, Jo Good. Jo needs no introduction, but because I like the sound of my own voice, she's obviously going to get one. Jo is the star of BBC Radio London, the almost star of her vlog, Middle Age Minx. Your mum stole that one, Jo, sorry about that. And she's hosting a brand new podcast about dogs. But before we hear from Jo...
That's why we played Puppy Love.
Beautifully just put together,
it.
Isn't it?
Did
you just get that?
Yeah.
Wow, it's lucky you're pretty.
Production.
Lucky you're good looking. But before we hear from Jo, I need to apologise to everyone because so Jo used to be an actor and Jo was in Crossroads. You know this, Nick.
Yes.
And Jo was Jo played mechanic Carol Sand. So she was a female mechanic way before Kylie. Mm-hmm. Kylie, if you're listening, and Kylie is a big fan of the show. Well, she's a almost 5 foot fan of the show. And apparently the way that the script writers wrote Carol stroke Jo out was sending her off to get a spanner.
she never came back.
So sorry I didn't get confirmation of that story. But anyway, here's my Jo Good.
Welcome, Jo Good, to Soho Radio.
Do you know, Bibi, this is so weird because I've always done a welcome to you, haven't I?
Yeah.
As you've joined me on my show. 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 7 a.m, put in a bid for BB Lynch. See if you can get BB Lynch. And you'd always come in at whatever hour, make a cup of tea, sit down, and we would literally laugh probably for most of the show, wouldn't we?
One of my favourite ones was you saying, oh, BB, I ate al fresco today. And then you looked at me and I couldn't not say it. How is he? Because you can't... Jo also used to fix me up with... psychotic men.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah.
Actually, where is he now?
America.
Is he? So you... Oh, following him,
no,
are we, Bibi? That was very quick.
There's one in America and there's one in... one of them, I won't give where he is because it'll give it away, but he used to hit me on the head with his penis.
I remember reading about that. Was that when you... did you... You didn't write that in the mail, for God's sake. You wrote that somewhere.
Maybe a toilet wall that you...
Because I remember he came on my show the following week and I saw him in a completely different light. But that was my late show, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was like the Ark. They came in single numbers and went out two by two.
Did you ever have any late show babies?
No. But did you know that I have a doctor comes on my show, 51, who's just had a baby?
You told me about this last time.
Dr. Renee, she thought she was going through the menopause.
And it was a babby.
It was a babby.
Do you think she's going to call the baby Jo?
No, she's called it Alice. She brought it to my flat and it ate a fish cake.
You're calling a baby it?
Actually, she didn't eat the fish cake. She was only a couple of weeks old.
I saw this vlog. Can we talk? Oh, can we... She's on solid.
She's on
it
solid.
It is on solid. It's well done, it. Your middle-aged minx vlogs.
Or middle-aged minge, as someone said to me in the street, which was highly offensive. Oh, you're the middle-aged minge.
No, I've got nothing. It's brilliant.
Do you know, BB, you've known me in all my reinventions. They gave Gabby Roslin my breakfast show. Do you remember when I went to Earth and didn't stop crying for 10 weeks, couldn't talk to anyone? I would stop people in Marks and Spencer's and say, they gave Gabby Roslin my breakfast show. I now am a YouTuber.
You're so a YouTuber. How did this happen? Why? Why did this happen?
You know I'm very voyeuristic and I've always loved reality television.
Yeah.
And
your neighbour.
And my neighbour. Yeah. Also, I have no family, no children. I have a mother of 93, but I have no children, no partner, no family. And so I watch families. It's really quite alarming. In fact, my producer said, at your funeral, will they all be virtual guests? Because I literally just watch people on YouTube. And then I thought, why don't I do it? So I started just filming myself at 63, when most YouTubers, when did they start? 2009?
Yeah.
They're all in their 20s or something.
Yeah.
They've got 8 million followers. I've got 4,500. I count them every day.
You do? And do you know them all? You can't be related to all of them.
No, but they're quite bitchy. So I leave the bitchy comments up because I've got to the stage now. When I first came to the radio station that we're sitting in at the moment, BBC Radio London. Always brand. The internet was literally only just starting. It was that long ago. And someone had put, what is the point of Joe Good? And it upset me so much because I couldn't think of an answer. I still can't.
I'll get back to you.
I'll get back to you.
Keep listening.
Keep listening. Sorry, it's an in-joke between Bibi and I. I have no idea what the point is of Joe Good.
Well, the point is to spread the love. And what you're doing, what you're doing to me is making me fall in love with London again. And I love the whole thing of anything's possible at any age.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I love that. And I guess that was the reason that prompted you to do that in the first place.
I think, and also that...
It's still valid.
I'm still valid. But what I love about YouTube is anything goes. So you don't have to... You can just... Jump cut. Sorry, this is the vernacular now.
Sorry, keep going.
I'm using technical expressions, but you can just, you don't have to say where you've come from, where you're going. You just stick a bit of film in. It's as simple as that, and hope that people understand the journey of that particular video.
What is your journey?
My journey is, I am a middle-aged minx, as I say on my introduction, with just a dog by my side, no children, friends who are probably my, you know, surrogate kids, and no future, no security, no pension. You know, I'm on a yearly contract.
It's a musical, right? It's a comedy.
It's my version of 42nd Street.
But people are loving it.
I'm growing them slowly.
I would say you're the star of it, but your mum?
Yes. And she has no idea. She's what they call clickbait. Have you heard of this?
Yes,
she's clickbait. She thinks I'm taking photographs. She goes, are you still photographing? She hasn't realised I've been filming her. I filmed her, actually, and I didn't put it out because I didn't... She's 93, lived through the war, lived through rationing, and I take her shopping to Sainsbury's and she literally asks for 2 slices of lean corned beef. I know. And I filmed that and then I just thought, actually, am I taking the mickey? I don't mean to be. So I have to be careful what I put out.
That is because you're an oversharer. I'm an oversharer. Yeah, we've built careers on it. Well, you've got a career.
You have a thriving career,
BB Lynch. Post-it collection.
You're 360. You're print, telly and radio.
I'm a triple threat.
But I'm a YouTuber.
Yeah. Yeah, it's annoyed me. What was I going to say? It's throwing up. I say
about sharing too much.
Yeah. What's your responsibilities for other people? Because it could be gold, but you can't do it. You can't put it out there.
No. Isn't that interesting? Are you learning that actually?
Oh, I've learned a lesson. You know, I wrote about someone and lost a 30-year friendship.
Yeah.
You know.
But wouldn't you think they all know it's all fair in love and media?
I think. No, I don't think people do think that. I think for me, when I've written about stuff because it's something I've had to say. And in my many, many therapy sessions, my new one's lovely. I love her. My new head lady. I really think that a lot of it's how I process whatever's happening to me. And if I feel unable to say it to the person or able to say it, or it's just a big social kind of injustice, my platform is being able to write about it.
Yeah.
So you must have that on your vlog.
Yes, I do. And I always say I don't want to go to my grave with secrets. I don't care about having secrets. I don't care what people know about me. And I know you don't either. You just say it as it is.
My line, though. I bet you have a line.
I don't know. Do I? What's yours?
Well, I'm not going to tell you because that's me straddling my line.
Cut straight through it. I don't know if I do. I mean, you know, there are people in my life who have passed away. They're the people I probably got. The ones alive can fight their own battles.
You're good. I know who you love most.
Apart from me.
Matilda.
Is Matilda my dog? Yes. So Matilda is, she's a 10-year-old British bulldog who was bought for me by my partner who has passed away. He died holding our other dog on his wife's kitchen floor, but that's a whole different story. And he was called Big George, and he bought... You knew Big George,
didn't I loved you? Big George.
I know, he was big and a big persona. And he bought Matilda for me, and we sort of... I'm not her mummy or anything, but she is a heartbeat in the flat because there is no other heartbeat apart from mine.
That's such an amazing way of describing it. My neighbour Ali's got a dog called Ivan. Oh my God, I love him so much. And when he came into my flat and he jumped on my mattress and tried to eat monkey, whole new story.
A euphemism?
No, I don't want to go into it, Joe. Joe, it's my show. And I sensed, and I was like, the energy's different.
Yes.
There's not just me and my multiple personalities.
No. When are you going to get a dog? Come on, not where you're living. You can take dogs for what? Seriously, when are you going to get a dog?
Because even that feels like too much responsibility. Yeah. Producer Nick showed me pictures of Pickle.
Is that a Jack Russell Cross? See, I know a breed at a Pickle, 10 distance.
Pickle sleeps with me. Can I say something about Pickle, Nick? Hmm. Pickle's a slut.
Pickle, hang on, is Pickle male or female?
Male.
No. Jack Russell Cross or pure Jack Russell?
Parsons. And
so does he skip on his third leg?
Yes.
Mm. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, every third step is a little skip.
BB is so utterly shocked.
I literally don't know what's going on.
Isn't it? It's unhealthy, what
well,
I know.
Well, it's kind of weird. It does bring us to your podcast.
No, but about Pickle.
Yeah.
Thing about Pickle is, unlike my bulldog, sorry, this is now going to get maudlin, Pickle will have a very long life. Jack Russell's live.
He's 11.
Yeah. And he's only a third of the way through his life. Matilda's 10. She's outlived her bulldog expectancy.
Oh, no, Joe, what? No, I can't.
Truly, they usually die at 8, and she's 10. She's lost her teeth and going deaf, but then so
welcome to the club.
So, exactly. So we share so much. But anyway, so she and I now, and she has, in so many ways, recreated my career. So we did the Alan Titchmarsh show as doggy advisor. I'm not looking at you saying this bit, B, because I know you want to be sick. Every Tuesday, Alan Titchmarsh, we are going to be wound up.
No, we're not.
Only just approached Alan Titchmarsh.
Titchmarsh, yes. Like, what's his name? I can't say his name.
You rolled your eyes when I met. He's a gardener. But...
Yeah, no, I know. I couldn't say his name. I know. I couldn't pronounce his name.
Is it because you don't want to say his name?
I think I've got a block.
I was his doggy advisor for years with Matilda.
Is that in dog years? Was it an hour?
She's good. This is why she's getting every gig going. But Matilda was always there. So now the BBC have offered me a podcast with Matilda called Dogs and the City,
brilliant,
which is a play on Sex and the City. So you will see in the publicity shots, Matilda is in a tutu walking down Regent Street, I know. So everyone who's up for the protection of animals will be on my back, but never mind. She's only in it briefly. And we are talking to people in cities, it doesn't have to be in London, about their dogs.
Yeah.
So we're doing Katrina and the Waves this week, actually. Julian Clary walking through Regent's Park. Bruce Oldfield in his salon making wedding dresses with his two dogs.
God, gorgeous, Bruce.
Isn't he gorgeous?
Beautiful,
He went out with, who was it, married to Mick Jagger before? The mother of Jade.
Bianca Jagger?
Bianca.
Are you sure? Mm. Who told you that?
That's in his wiki.
It's in his wiki?
I didn't... You're twiddling your head. Does that mean that you want...
This is...
You want this relationship to go further?
I already pointed out my full breast to you earlier, and you did nothing. Forget it, it's over. You've had your chances with me, good.
Both BB and me, we're suffering this breast inflation. I don't know what it's about, actually.
I'm happy with it, I think.
You've got hormones. I've got no hormones and mine are getting bigger.
Well...
Bruce Oldfield.
Yes.
Then Elizabeth from Archer. Elizabeth Archer from the Archers. Her husband is a black cab driver. And he drove us around. He has a bulldog in the well of his cab called Daphne. Not all celebrities. People who live on houseboats in Maida Vale with their dogs. So getting their take on what it's like to have a dog in the city.
And that's it. Are you interviewing the person about their life as well, though, through the dog?
No, just the dog.
But it's just about the dog?
No, the person...
I didn't mean that. You know what I mean?
No, the person and their dog.
Say something? Are you sensing the sexual tension?
Yeah, that's why you're twiddling your hair.
I know. And look at my leg leaning towards him.
And he keeps swinging around towards you. How long have you two worked together?
How long is it, baby?
I don't have a microphone. I can't defend myself.
Lean your breast towards him because your mic is on... I love the freedom of your show.
On my show,
they'd have cut 2/3 of this out by now.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I love it. Why aren't you... So you're just talking just about dogs?
Not just, BB. This is going to be top of the podcast.
I know it's going to be top of the
So it is talking about the people and their dogs and the people's lives as well. So, for instance, Julian Clary, Fanny the Wonder Dog, helped create Julian, really. Yes. Fanny died... Valerie, the next dog, had no stage presence whatsoever. Was a complete disaster. Sat the wrong way round, facing the audience. Nothing but an embarrassment. So we talk about that whilst walking through Regent's Park as his dog attacks other people's dogs.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a lovely image.
Are you going to different cities?
Different cities. At the moment, they've all been in Brighton because the budget hasn't come, Brighton, London.
Yeah.
The budget hasn't come through, but they will be all cities. And it's launched on the 15th.
Okay.
And because it's a podcast, we are doing the first one. We're pre-recording it in the pod of the London Eye. With dogs and their owners going round and round. Yes, that will launch the first
one. So if I had a dog, I would have been invited?
You would have been.
Can I borrow a pickle?
Too late now, because we're full. But the next one you can. We can go and watch the Starlings in Brighton with Pickle.
Yeah.
But you have to, you just get it on, so it's on BBC Sounds. I've got it to plug here.
Can I just ask you a question?
Go on.
Nick, make sure you can hear this. Mm-hmm. Do you know what a podcast is, Joe?
So a podcast for me is something that is not edited. That's my joy. It's rather like, and I do listen to you, Bibi, a lot, and I've said to you, you have the freedom to just land on air. Do you know what I mean? We're sitting in a BBC studio and they give me a lot of freedom, but I still have to do the housework, so to speak. And a podcast, there is no housework. It can just go wherever you want.
It'd be interesting to see how that feeds into your radio show.
Yeah. I know.
Because I've done a million shows with you and it's interesting. You don't feel hemmed in by the housework when you do a show with you. It feels free as anything. It's brilliant.
Yeah, but when
you leave,
I pick up the pieces.
My radio hero.
Oh, that's absolute rubbish.
You are.
And I'm going to say this. I will say this in, and I want you to keep this in. I owe loads to you, BB, because when I came here, and this is no word of a lie, I was broadcasting at every God-given hour of the day and night. And I've always said you surround yourself with good people, especially in radio, because that's the cleverest thing to do. We're all nodding here. And you would come in on night buses. I remember you walking here from Bermondsey. You would always come in to help me. And it helped me sound good having you with me. So I honestly do mean that.
Thank you. It's a bit schmaltzy.
Now you can continue to twizzle your hair.
Yeah, I just want to twiddle it a bit more. No, well, it was an absolute pleasure because I love it. And I've learnt masses working with you on shows.
Well, you've not learnt this desk yet because you need to fade us out.
No, I'm going to learn the desk. My aim is to drive it with my nipples.
I'm heading in that direction very soon.
So you're excited about the podcast?
I am extremely excited because I love dogs. I also, as I say, love the freedom of doing that. And I'm with a really good producer, Elisa, who you know.
Oh,
you've worked with her.
Elisa.
Who's a massive dog lover. She's also got a British bulldog. So she brings her dog with us. So we take our dogs with us on these travels, which is fantastic. And we'll see how it goes. I think we're doing them in bunches of six.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to be brilliant.
Thank you.
So we can find them wherever people find their podcasts.
Their podcasts.
Where do people find podcasts?
Well, on the BBC, ours will be on wherever people find their podcasts, but also on BBC Sounds.
Okay.
So, and also follow me on Twitter, at Joe Good Middle Age Minx. Middle Age Minx, I will tell you the day it launches.
Okay, amazing. And follow Jo and watch her vlog. And we must be able to look at past vlogs because there's the one where I'm wearing my dead dad's jumper.
You're wearing your dead dad's jumper in Morocco's in Brighton. We need you in another one very soon.
Yeah, I've only had one dead dad.
Oh. But we need you in Morocco's again.
Okay.
On that note,
quickly rescue that.
Thank you, Jo.
Can I sign off Wolf Wolf?
Yes.
That's absolutely.
Can I do it as well? What do you do?
Woof, woof.
Woof, woof.
Woof, woof. Jesus. For Dogs in the City, go to BBC Sounds. And for updates on all Jo's fabulous projects, I just love her. Follow her on Twitter at Middle Aged Minx.
Sorry.
best things in life are free, Luther Vandross and Janet Jackson. Guess what? Our final guest is here. Sarah May Tewson is a writer and co-founder of producer at boutique podcast company Fable Gazers. Welcome to Soho Radio.
Thank you. Hi there.
You look so gorgeous.
I'm channeling you today. That's what I didn't have any leopard skin.
Yes.
So I went with a nice 70s print.
Yeah,
it's very beautiful. It's loud and yet...
It's not. Yeah, loud and yet quiet.
But don't look at it for too long.
Because it will give me some kind of migraine.
Yeah.
What is the pattern?
I don't know. I think it is. I think it is a 70s top. So.
Do you want it?
Yeah.
Come on.
I've got... You're saying that your bra was... We can swap bras as well if you want.
Okay, what size are you?
I'm 34C. Oh,
so. Yeah, there was a whole bra conversation while you were listening to Luther Vandross.
What size are you?
What, for bras? Mm. I don't know. I'm 40 chest.
Oh, it's quite broad, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Quite broad. I'm quite an unusual size. Are we on air? So I was just saying, I'd thrown loads of my bras away because they all went Catholic right at the same point, and all the underwear came out. And as much as I like pain,
is that a phrase? Is that bra speak?
What, all went Catholic?
My bra's gone Catholic.
Well, no, but Catholic is self-flagellation and liking pain.
Yeah, exactly.
Liking pain.
Yeah.
Why didn't you understand that?
Yeah, no. I see. Well, because I'm not remotely religious.
Sarah May, producer Nick, has been winding me up all.
Your life.
My life. And so anyway, I made the executive decision to bin all the bras without actually buying others. So now I'm wearing a piece of tat.
With respect, that is quite a random, you know, whatever. I'd be interested if people would like to tweet in.
About going Catholic.
They understood that or not.
Yeah. Where'd you get your bras?
I tend to buy them online because I hate going to shops and trying things on, like to the point where I will just... order something, and if it doesn't fit, I'll wear that thing. Even if it makes me have three boobs, a uni boob.
Oh, you don't send it back and then get another size?
No, sometimes I do. It depends on how... I am really lazy when it comes to that kind of thing.
I'm a fan of the four... Well, I'm not a fan, but I appear to be sporting it often, the four boob look.
Yeah. But do you have that one that's like your comfortable bra and it's like grey?
Oh, yeah.
It looks terrible. Yeah. If anyone who you remotely fancied ever saw you in it, they would just... drop dead.
So I have the most hideous story. So I got drunk.
Which you're going to tell.
Which I'm going to tell. I got drunk and a young fella lad got in touch, and it was about 4 a.m. and he was like, get a cab over. And I went, oh, do you know what? I'm drunk enough too. So I did. And I was not sex ready. You know what I mean? I was not sex ready. And the bra I was wearing was not only one of those sculpted ones. So when you take it off, it just keeps the shape. Flesh coloured. Oh. And no one's got flesh that colour.
Yep.
Bobbled, where it's been worn for so long, and kind of slightly stained under the armpit because just, you know, whatever, you know, Swarovski or deodorant I use. And you know, things happened. We talk, you know, discussed politics, fine art, literature. And then in the morning, when I woke up, I saw the bra just facing me, and it was just like, oh, my God.
Just the two terrible cups.
The cups of shame.
Cups of shame.
Yeah.
So he wasn't...
He wasn't the one. He wasn't Bobby.
No, but to his credit, he wasn't perturbed by that at all.
I didn't hear from him again.
Oh.
So Fable Gazers.
Oh, yeah.
That tells you all you need to know about men.
Fable Gazers. Created by you and content producer Beth Keane. Why did you create a podcast company?
Well, actually, it was because of the story that sort of fell into my lap that was this personal... odyssey, really, of my friend Ruby, who in all other respects is what you might call, she describes herself as like a 1950s housewife, except for this one small thing. And I didn't know anything about her sex life with her husband. I thought, you know, we were good friends, we used to natter about films and whatever, but we never really talked about her sex life with her husband, who happens to be my husband's friend from school.
Okay.
So there's another layer of intimacy there. And I just knew that she was one of the most charming, articulate people that I knew, and I wanted to teach myself how to do podcasting, but never thinking that anything would happen, really, that I just learned some skills or whatever. But the journey that we then went on over 3 years, recording her decision to become a sugar baby, was just so strange and poignant and happy and sad and funny. And it made me think about things a different way that I thought I have to actually put it out there. And I enjoyed the process of podcasting as well. So I just thought, why not launch
So the Sugar Baby Confessionals, as the Ruby series is called, was the reason that you started Fable Gazers. Why Fable Gazers? Why that name?
Well, because I wanted to, our little tagline is turning fact into fable, because I like podcasts that tell a true life story, but in a way that sort of pulls out some sort of greater meaning or can resonate with as many people as possible. And so I wanted to give it that kind of sheen of fiction, but still have it based in fact and truth.
And you were, I guess, influenced by Serial. Which was like the first podcast that was the first podcast I heard.
Yeah.
And I love about Fable Gazers as well is that you have that whole thing going on, that self-contained kind of podcast series. So in 10, 15 episodes, each season is a whole different story.
Yeah.
That's such good. Is that a USP? I guess Serial does as well. But
yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there are a couple of companies who do similar-ish things. But personally, I don't know how people do a podcast a week. I honestly don't know how they do it, because it takes me so dang long just to do one episode.
How long does it take?
It would probably be scary. I haven't ever quite, you know, added all the hours up, but it's probably like about 30 or 40 hours an episode. With lots of breaks.
Well,
you know,
can I say something
breaks.
Though? just some recoup, bra break, bra shopping. Sugar Baby Confessionals is an amazing podcast. It's absolutely brilliant. I can't remember how I first encountered it. Did you? How, I can't remember how I came across
it. I think
it.
I was stalking you on Twitter one day. No, I had actually read quite a few of your articles as well. So I kind of think I was following you anyway. And I think I must have just been really brass-faced and just sent you a little tweet saying, like, could you listen to this? And you were kind enough to say something nice about it. So I was just...
Well, not kind enough. It's absolutely brilliant. And the story of Ruby, but let's talk more about it. So Ruby, how old's Ruby?
She is 38.
38. So I've met Ruby. I've had the pleasure of meeting Ruby. And so married and a couple of kids.
Yep.
And becomes a sugar baby. And I do a podcast, Good Sex Bad Sex, with gorgeous Miranda Kane, and Sarah May and Ruby came on to talk about it, and I like what you were saying, that whole thing of it's not just a podcast and just the story, it's what it throws up. And we had a really great discussion around feminism and, you know, what it all means, and is it sex work, and, you know,
and you let her have it. You did not let her get away with not joking. No, it was nice, because she likes being challenged, and you actually did challenge her a bit, and you were talking, because I think a lot, it was interesting on Good Sex, Bad Sex is amazing, by the way, everybody should listen to it. But one of the reasons it's so great is because you and Miranda Kane are coming from different perspectives as well, which was nice for us, because we have a similar dynamic with me being the sort of vanilla person who has been with the same guy since I was 19. And, you know, so.
Has he got a brother?
No. Oh.
Carry on.
And
shameless.
If you did, apologize. It would be, you'd be the first one.
Thank you so much.
It was really nice having you guys kind of being able to ask different sorts of questions.
Well, that is tricky when you're when you're recording or interviewing someone, you know, you have to forget you know the story. You have to forget the bits that you do know, because then you have to, like, interview her with fresh ears.
Yeah. Well, also, this was fresh information to me.
That's all of it.
You hear as I hear.
Oh, really?
What's happening? Because when I posed the idea to her initially, she literally said, "It so happens I've decided to do this crazy thing." And then I thought, okay, cool. Well, let's record it. At the very least, we can kind of process it as we go along, etc. And so as I discover things, you discover things. And then, of course, I can process it a little bit with my little in-between bits, where I kind of try and give my little narrative voice going, you know.
I love your voice. I love your voice. You should do some little messages for me.
Like some diarrhea pill advert or something for people. Like,
buy a new bra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Summers, if you're listening, I would love to do. Love you too.
Or Love Honey. Love Honey, if you're listening. We love you. So a sugar baby, we should explain what a sugar baby is.
Yes.
Go on then.
I mean, I sometimes forget that people don't know, now that I've had my brain completely warped
ruined.
By the whole
You've
experience.
Been
I've been corrupted. I'm just going back to the little Catholic throwbacks now, because were you also brought up Catholic?
My mum and dad used to send us to Sunday school on a Sunday, just so they could have sex.
Okay.
That's a good reason.
Thank you.
That's a very good
true
reason.
Story.
Thank you. True story. Seven of us, yeah. So were you shocked by anything she was saying? So a sugar baby is...
Sorry, yeah. See, this is where I go on my weird digressions and I need my editing. Sugar baby
trust
is someone...
Me, you're not going on digression. You're not the person in this room who's digressing.
So a sugar baby is someone who gets money or gifts for companionship or sex of any kind. So that's the thing.
How much are we allowed to say? Because there was something that happened in it that made me go, oh my God, I can't bear this.
Well, as long as you don't tell what happens right at the end, because I really would like people to listen. Some people are naughty and they try and skip to the end to find out what happens.
Oh, why are people so naughty? Okay, let's do this right. Producing it, put both our mics down. I'm going to quickly ask Sarah May if I'm allowed to say it. And okay. You say something in the mic. You just be fabulous for a minute.
Okay, Well, mine's still up, so they'll hear. But yeah, they're whispering. Talk amongst yourselves. Sarah May brought gifts, by the way, I should say. There's chocolate. She came gathering gifts.
Oh, gathering gifts. Gathering gifts. She nicked stuff. Gifts. She took stuff from our studio. What a bitch. Yeah, thank you for chocolate.
Okay.
So Ruby, yeah. So okay. Ruby's like seen, there was, I can't remember the bloke's names. Wasn't there a thong? Wasn't there a bloke in
yeah,
a thong?
Yeah, we name all the sugar daddies because everyone's anonymous, obviously, to protect Ruby, which is why Bibi has to be a bit careful about certain things.
Yeah. Nigel Farage. No, I said too much.
It wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me. There's Mankini.
Mankini.
And he was a guy who, unfortunately, his wife had a low libido. And he got really overexcited. So I think he wanted to wear a Mankini to their first date. I think there were several times where he arrived covered in cat hair.
So she turns up on a date with some sellotape, other adhesive tapes are available, and just kind of de-hairing him.
Yeah, I think, she said she sort of peeled off his cat hair jumper and kind of tossed it as far as she could from the bed. But she doesn't seem to have a, like, she doesn't seem to, I would be put off by that, and then it would be no thank you, please, and thank you.
Mm. You were very well brought up, you've got good manners.
But she, you know, she seems to be so kind of open to the sexual and sensual experience, she can kind of just go right ahead. And
her husband was cool with all this?
Yes, I think that's one of the most interesting things about this story about a sugar baby, as opposed to the Belle du Jour thing, or maybe the ones about college students. She is someone who doesn't need the money. And she and her husband share a relationship that kind of runs and is driven by this kind of idea of compersion, which we've talked about before.
Oh, my God. Does anyone... Yeah.
And he gets turned on, basically, by seeing or hearing... Not seeing, because I don't think he's into the voyeuristic thing, but hearing about her experiences with other men. And so they've always had an open relationship, but it's never been this extreme. They, you know...
Speaking as someone who's walked out of a restaurant when my date flirted with the waitress too much, I think we know that I couldn't be in this world. Yeah. Compersion, I'll quickly say, Google told me, is when you have that warm feeling inside you of kind of fulfillment and love when your partner is fulfilled and loved by another. So they are having sex with someone else, they fall in love with someone else, that makes you happy. Not in my lifetime. But she fell in love with someone.
Yes. Well, this is the issue, because I think previously they had a thing where they could go off and have a one-night stand with a stranger and then share the experience together, you know, because he also, that's an important point to mention, he also is open to having other relationships. It just so happened
I bet he is.
So she ended up, she's throughout the course of the thing, she sees a variety of different sugar daddies, and some of them are funny, some of them are... strange. One of them was a sociopath who she didn't actually end up
he is
seeing.
Here sorry producer.
Yeah, that one was called Frenchie and he had really long shoes, and I just really found the funny
a little baguette in each pump.
I didn't want to say, like, I don't trust people wearing long really long
yeah,
shoes.
Oh, but... No, but, yeah, yeah. It's all looked down. No, we're all right. But no, I hear you, because that's just making out that you've got big old, yeah. But so she fell in love, but you have to listen to the podcast. But honestly, it is so amazing. We're going to play a track and then I'm going to speak more about Sugar Baby Confessionals, but also Fable Gazers, because it's such a beautiful company. Let's have, I wrote this one.
Did
You're listening to BB Does Soho on Soho Radio, and that was Loose Ends and Hanging on the String. And this is fabulous writer and podcaster Sarah Mae Tewson.
Thank you.
Just telling Sarah Mae about the time producer Nick rang me and told me I was fat. Hey, Sarah Mae.
Talking which is chocolate.
Oh, I know. I'm quite
Sarah
excited.
Mae brought Reese's Pieces.
Not only do I love the Sugar Baby Confessionals, the story and just how it evolves and it's brilliant, I love the quality of the podcast. It's so beautifully crafted.
Oh, thank you.
It's, and that's definitely what you're going for, isn't it? That's your USP.
That means so much because I literally spent, you know, 3 years and much of that was not the interviews. About a third of that was the interviews.
Yeah.
The rest was me sweating over a hot laptop.
Yeah. Well, I'm very jealous. I'm very envious because that's how I would love this show to be. But, you know, sadly, my hands are tied in this creative
in the material you've got.
I love this show. So.
That's so mean. What do you think makes a great podcast?
I mean, it depends what you're looking for, because some people enjoy the bantery podcasts that kind of are a little bit, they're not as well edited and it's every week. And those are more about the personality. So if you're into that, then there's loads for you to enjoy.
She means you.
I know.
I'm not that. I've kind of gone off those a bit, but that's probably.
Oh, she's gone off those.
Not yours, because.
Oh, okay.
You know, that whole. All of those rely on the person being brilliant and funny, which you are. So you know, those are the only ones I listen to. However, lots of them are, for me, could use a bit of a cut and a bit of a trim and a bit of a, you know, nice musical interlude.
And an app break.
Yeah.
And a sandwich break.
But my favourites are the ones where someone has lovingly spent time picking out, you know, music that's going to bring everything up and really trying to tell the story and elevate the story to something more.
I had a meeting recently with someone and I was talking about podcasts and he said, but who listens to podcasts? And I couldn't believe, A, that I was hearing that, because podcasts are now so established that my question to you is, what's the future of podcasts?
Well, that is an interesting. I mean, I went to an event where I was giving a talk on something, but there were a lot of people there who literally were, what is a podcast? How can I get a podcast? And, you know, that was the level of kind of where I had to talk to them from. So I think there are still a lot of people who aren't sure, even though I'm immersed in it and you're immersed in it.
Yeah.
You know, you think you feel like obviously everyone knows about it, but not everyone does, unfortunately.
We're going to play a track, and then you and I are going to talk about the future podcast after. Oh my God, it's only Elvis Presley.
Soldier boy, why feel blue? Don't you believe that she will be true? It's written in the blue that she was meant for only.
Is the best nose in the business.
Really?
Yeah. Sarah Majors. So, yes. When we were talking about the future of podcasts, so where do you... I mean, it's a young person's thing still?
I think, to an extent, yes. But now I think there's lots of industry people and everyone's glomming onto it as a medium to get your... Because you can get a very niche, engaged audience. So I think people are kind of looking around and looking for ways, and podcasts are springing up everywhere. I mean, if you're a podcast yourself, there's, you feel like everybody's got a podcast. But I think there is possibly a certain demographic of people who would still rather listen to the radio.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think young people are definitely...
And the BBC have got BBC Sounds now, so the fact that Beeb's on board, yeah. We kind of think it's going a different place. And producer Nick made maybe the only sensible thing you've said in the last 2 hours, which was, I can't remember...
Oh, what I said while that record was playing, that young people listen to podcasts and yet older people listen to speech radio, and young people wouldn't think of listening to like Radio 4.
And
older people maybe wouldn't think of downloading a podcast, but it's a strange sort of...
It's a beautiful thing.
But it's great that young people are, because, you know, between the ages of, I think, 14 and 25 or something, that's the most listened to
and
demographic.
And hopefully taking people away from that 30-second attention span thing.
Good thing.
Two practical tips, please, for anyone wanting to start their own podcast company or podcast.
I'd say start as a passion project. So if you're not passionate, it's much too hard and thankless and money-free a thing to do.
Money-free.
Yeah.
Not burdened
by... Do you like money?
don't do podcasts. I'm joking. I'm just kidding. But
You're not.
Yeah, exactly. She's looking at me. I'm dressed. She lied about my outfit.
How much
it's
is
actually
that jacket?
Rags.
I love that jacket. You've really mixed your patterns.
It was a TK Maxx situation. Nice, really nice. So it's probably hard to
Anyway.
So that was a tip. Be passionate. Find a story that only you can tell that's maybe personal to you that you can be passionate about. And the other thing is, really do your research beforehand into equipment. I think it really helps to have a proper recording setup, a good mic, that kind of thing.
Producer Nick's nodding.
Yeah. And
What's Favourite Gaze is up to now?
So I'm working on season 2 at the moment, which is probably going to be released in 2019, I hope, if I can get my everything together.
You can.
And it features Stephen Fry and Joanne Harris and lots Chocolat. Of amazing people. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And what it's about is an author that I'm really passionate about called Georgette Hare. And I feel that she's been criminally overlooked by film producers and readers, even though she was known as the Queen of Regency Romance. She wrote 2 books a year since she was 19. From the 20s to the 70s. So, I mean, she was a powerhouse.
I'm already hooked. Honestly, these stories are amazing. Everyone must listen. I need to say goodbye and thank my guests. Come on again, please. We'll have another hour because we didn't have long enough. I need to say goodbye and thank my guests.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Phil Nichol. You're Wrong is at Soho Theatre from November 27th to December 1st. For tickets, go to sohotheatre.com. And for updates on all Phil's brilliant projects, visit philnichol.com and follow Phil on Twitter at Phil Nichol. Thank you, Joe Good. For Dogs in the City, go to BBC Sounds. And for updates on all Joe's fabulous projects, follow her on Twitter at Middle Age Minx, or a middle-aged minge, as she said. Thank you, Sarah Maytus. To listen to the Sugar Baby Confessionals, go to fablegazers.com. And for updates on everything Fable Gazers, follow at fable_gazers and at Sarah Maytus on Twitter, SaraMaeTuson. Thank you, producer Nick, and most of all, thank you for listening and joining. It's a tricky name. That's it from me, Bebe Lynch. Until next time, stay tuned to your wonderful Soho Radio. And I'll leave you with my baby, Smokey Robinson, and Just to See Her. He wrote that as a dig to Stevie Wonder, you know.
Really?
Love you so much.
You're going to leave on that? Oh, no.
Just to see her, just to touch her, just to hold her in my arms again, one more time. If I could feel her warm embrace, see her smiling face, can't find anyone to take her place, I've got to see her again. Show it. Ooh, can I make